Awesome. Hello. Good morning. I'm really excited. I don't know how many of you were here last Sunday. You have kind of a majority. I'm going to quickly try to like blow through what we talked about last Sunday to set the stage for today. I wasn't able to get through everything last Sunday, and just kind of came to this point where, I don't know, we're kind of at the climax of what I was wanting to say, and then we were at 12 o'clock, so I thought I would hold off till today. So we're working through this mission statement, and I wanted to take the first stab at it and talk about transformation and how that happens and what that looks like and how it's been made possible through Jesus. In talking about transformation, I really wanted to focus on this word called sanctification, and that's becoming holy and pure like God. I wanted to clarify before I got into sanctification that it is critical for us to understand justification. And I know these are two big words, but they are essential words, I believe, for believers to understand. We have to first understand that we have been justified in Christ before we can even start to think about sanctification. Before we can even start to think about becoming holy and reflecting God, we have to understand that God has made a way for us to walk into the presence of God. And it had nothing to do with what we did. It was everything to do with what Jesus did. So being justified before a judge in a courtroom, this is legal language, justification. It means that the judge looks at your case and he says, actually, all these accusations against this person, they're not accurate at all. This person is upstanding, a good citizen. So not only are you forgiven for what you've done, you're actually have a new identity in the community. All of that accusation that's come against you has been cleared by the judge. He said, you can't say that about this person anymore. That's not who they are. So that's justification. That is not anything that we have done except by faith accepting what God has done for us, right? So we're justified in Christ. We're established as righteous before God. There's no accusation standing against us anymore. And if we don't understand justification, we are going to try to be sanctifying ourselves on our own, thinking that that's somehow going to grant us access to God, right? And we talked a little bit about the Pharisees and how they were really good at this. They weren't justified before God, but they were trying to be sanctified, right? They were consumed with being holy. And they had set up all of these rules and regulations in order to present themselves to God holy, because they were desperate for God's presence to come and dwell in Israel, right? There was a temple, and when they jumped through all the hoops of the law, suddenly his presence filled the temple. But by the time Jesus had come on the scene, that had not happened in a long time. They had come back, rebuilt the temple, but the presence of God had never returned. And they were setting up more and more rules, trying to be holy enough to access the presence of God, and it was impossible. Right? So when we know that we're justified, I thought this was just super cool to think about. When we know that we're justified, that access to, and I want you to kind of imagine, like, if I'm standing over here, this is where we were. We were dead. We were under the law. We were under sin. And being justified, we've moved into his holy sanctuary where we are sanctified. So if you can have that kind of, like, that picture in your mind. Over here was where we were, and this is where we've been brought. When we realize that access to his sanctuary has been purchased through Jesus' death and resurrection, that we've been justified, we have full access. That has nothing to do with what we've done, right? Only what he's done. So our motivation is totally different, right? To become holy. Because when we were like the Pharisees following the law, we were trying to serve ourselves, right? We're trying to save ourselves. We wanted God's presence to build Israel, or we wanted to get to heaven somehow, or whatever, you know. And so we were trying to become holy for our own purposes, but when it's been granted to us freely, we want to be holy because he's holy. It's not to buy anything from him. It's not, it's a free gift, right? So that's why it's important to understand justification. It has nothing to do with what you've done, only what he's done. And you have to have that in your mind when you're talking about being holy for sure. Oh, I'm going to get out of breath, but I'm like, got so much to get through. So we're justified through Christ. I talked about, how we can, have clean hands, but not a clean heart, right? Again, when you look at the Pharisees, they, on the outward, they had this appearance of holiness. They were doing really good on the outside. We have the elder brother, right, in the story about the prodigal son. He looked really good on the outside. He was maintaining the farm. He was following, all of the rules, but his heart was so disconnected from the father, right? When his brother comes home, he's like, I don't get it. This doesn't make any sense. And the father's like, you don't understand my heart. Like, you're welcome here and he's welcome here. Like, so you can look really good on the outside, but the inside has to change. And there were these prophecies, and David got this, you know, he's writing, what are the sacrifices that God takes pleasure in? Do you guys remember? It's a broken and a contrite heart. So David got it. He got it because when he was chosen to be king, it wasn't anything that he looked like or appeared like, right? Samuel was told by God, I don't look at the outside, I look at the inside. That's what I'm concerned about. And then there's prophecies saying that there's going to be someone that comes that judges righteously because he looks on the inside, right? And that's Jesus. You know, and when Jesus came in, he wasn't impressed by the Pharisees who were so holy, right? And they're standing on the streets praying loudly to get everyone's attention and everyone's approval to affirm that they are so holy. Jesus sees right through it, right? It was the heart that he cared about. And so the prodigal son comes home with this broken and contrite heart. God, Father, I don't deserve to be here. Make me like a servant. And he's received by the father and given this seat, right, in the home. Again, as a son, he's given the robe and the ring, right? And it was nothing that he did except that he returned to his father with a changed heart. So we need both, right? We need to be manifesting holiness around us, but we need a clean and pure heart. How can we do that? How can we do that? We cannot do that on our own. Honestly, you cannot change your heart. And I talked about that, how the curse that Adam and Eve came into is this knowledge of good and evil, you know, and they're suddenly trying to become good. And by just looking at the outside and trying to follow rules and everything, right? Like, they're slaves to this. And all of humanity, I believe, is a slave to that until they come into Christ. This was an observation of mine, is just that there are kind of two types of people, that one that tend to just, you know what, I give up. I recognize I can't be good. I tried. I give up. And I'm just gonna go. So like the prodigal son, they just go and enjoy the world. And then there's another type who's like, Kate, I know I'm evil in my heart, so I'm gonna set up all these barriers around me. I'm gonna set up another system and another system to prevent myself from sin. But they're still slaves, right? So over here, you can be slaves to sin and you can be slaves to the law. You're still not free. I talked about how there's, like, if you have a child, I've recognized this in my son even, and I love my son, he's great, but as soon as I introduce a rule, there's a temptation to break it, right? And it's not the rule that's wrong, it's the heart. You know, there's this, like, I'm talking about a child that's just playing, you know, in the room, You remember this picture? A child just playing in a room, quietly enjoying their time, and you say, hey, don't go lick the icing on the cake in the kitchen, or don't go eat a cookie, I just made them, don't touch them. And suddenly they're like, I want to go eat a cookie. I want to go lick the icing. And the rule just exposed what was in them, right? The rule's good, because we don't want them licking the birthday cake. You know, that's a good rule. But what's inside of them is manifested. You know, and if they're operating in love, they don't want to lick the cake, right? They don't need a rule anymore. Do you know that? That people that are filled with love don't need rules. Imagine that. I'm just going to see if I can get, okay, I thought this was funny. I'll just give you guys a chance to read it and then laugh because I thought it was funny. Hopefully you're not offended. She says, I really want flowers, but I don't want to tell my boyfriend I want flowers, because then if he gets me flowers, it's because I said I wanted them and I want to get them because he wanted them to get me for them, but I want flowers. Do you want flowers or not, woman? Like, have you ever felt this way? Like, Nate's, you know, I had to ask Nathan if I could even put this up there because poor guy, right? But it's like, if you love me, you want to do it, right? If I tell you to do it and you do it, it doesn't feel like love. This is a joke. And I mean, like, cut your boyfriends and husbands some slack, but so sanctification, God's just been like blowing my mind this week as I've been studying this. It's everywhere. But just a review. Sanctification is this hagiasmos. This is the word. It shows up all the time in different forms. So the same word is used for consecration, and also a root of it is used for the sanctuary. I'm gonna look at my notes here. So sanctification is the process of becoming holy and made into the likeness of God. It happens over here on the other side of justification. The hagion is the holy place, the sanctuary, the temple. Who's the temple? We are. Consecration is, I think I've always heard it's being set apart for the purposes of God. Have you guys heard that? Consecration. But actually when I was looking at it, they were saying that it is like being set apart from the world in that you are like God. So things that are like God are set apart from the world. So there's a reflection of who God is. I wanted to get into this verse in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I can't hear any rustling. I'll assume you guys are all on your phones or you're just reading off the screen there. Corinthians is awesome if you want to understand what it looks like for a believer to have set the law behind. Like, I wanted to figure this out. I'm like, so we just throw rules out? Like, is that it? Like, we just hope we're going to do a good job over here. And the Corinthians were struggling with this, right? So Paul writes a lot to it, what it looks like to live now in this, on the other side of justification. But in this chapter specifically, he's talking about the law. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. So remember, just prior to this, he's talking about how Moses would go in to this place and meet God, and what would happen? He'd start to like glow, right? And when he came out and met with Israel, he put a veil over his face. And there's so much glory, he says, but what's coming, or what came through Jesus, has more glory than this. But there's this veil. And then he says, actually, when the Jews are reading this Old Testament, there's still this veil. It's still clouding their vision, because they're still over here, right? They're still operating on this self-righteousness thing, right? They haven't yet entered into the sanctuary through justification. They're over here trying to make it work, trying to get into the presence of God and all this. And everything that they read in the Old Testament has a veil over it. They can't actually see who God really is yet. He's obscured to them. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. Where else was there a veil in the Old Testament? In the temple, yeah. The Holy of Holies. Separating the people from the sanctuary of God. From the Holy of Holies. From the Hagios, right? And what tore when Jesus died? Access was granted. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, what happens? The veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If you read about sanctification anywhere in this book, I promise you there will be mention of the Holy Spirit. They don't occur separately. This is the work of the Spirit. And remember, we talked about the Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. If you look at the Greek, he is the Hagios, the consecrating breath, the holy breath, the sanctifying breath or wind. Okay? So, in this place, where the Spirit, where this holy breath and wind is operating, there's freedom, right? Freedom from sin and the law. Both, no good. Don't think you're better off by following the law. You're still disconnected from the sanctuary, right? But, over here, we have freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, so now that we have come to God through justification in Jesus, our faces are unveiled, we can behold his glory because access has been granted, right? And we, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, his glory is his holiness. We are being transformed. And transformed is a metamorphosis, if you look at that word closely, metamorphosis. We are metamorphosizing into the same image. We are changing, being transformed into the same image of our Father God. In this place, in the sanctuary, in the Holy of Holies, we are changing to look like him. And there's a process. These words indicate that there's a process of change. So we're being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. It's again, when you look at the words closely, there's this increasing movement towards it. It's building on, increasing and growing. So, as we now having full access to the holy place are exposed to and beholding the glory of his holiness, we are changed to reflect him back in an increasing way. Again, when you look at the Greek words here, there's an idea of mirroring him back. And I was talking with Steph about this. I'm like, why is there no mention of the mirror in this translation? But really, it's beholding him, and there is a reflection that happens. So we are like, we are mirroring his glory. And that's happening in an increasing way as we spend time here. And it never happened over here. We never mirrored him over here because our hearts couldn't be changed. We just had to set up a whole bunch of rules, or we gave up and just gave in to every whim. It's only over here that we're changed. Have you ever been changed by a rule? You might have been able to conform your behavior, but if, you know, it's like, It's like when you're watching your kid. You're like, don't do that. And then you like back out of the room and you're like maybe peeking around the corner and then they're like, okay. You know, like that's not love at all. You know, that's not freedom at all. There's a broken relationship there, right? If they're just doing it because you're watching. But when our hearts are changed, when our hearts are changed from stone to flesh, right? There's these prophecies. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new heart. It was hard. It didn't get it. It couldn't receive it. It couldn't grow. I'm going to give you a new heart. It's coming. And Jesus made the way. Whose image were we made in? We're made in God's image. We were made to reflect God. We become who we were created to be in His presence. If you want to find yourself, it's not going to happen over here. It's going to happen over there. So there's a growing into maturity, and I was trying to describe what I saw about this, because the scriptures say Jesus is our sanctification. He is it. And that makes sense. If we're just reflecting who he is it, right? And we are growing in every area of our lives as we spend time in his sanctuary to reflect him. And that is a maturing process. And it requires our participation. Remember when I had called Steph up and I was like, is it God that sanctifies us or is it us? And she said, you know, it's 100% him and 100% us. And I was like, I don't like that. But it makes sense, right? Because we need to let go of the law, let go of our sin, understand our justification, and walk into his sanctuary. And when we find we're struggling, we especially need to get here. Right? And we can grow in those areas. If you find that you're not mature in an area, it's so easy to come over here and say, I gotta buck up. I gotta do better. Right? And maybe you're feeling that even right now. I gotta do better. I gotta do more. And I want you to be careful that you're not over here using shame and condemnation as your old flesh tools to try to change who you are. It only happens in God's presence. So, yeah, when talking to Nate, I was like, it's kind of like, you know, an apple tree. When a sprout comes up, there's a seed that germinates and comes up. And you would say, that's an apple tree. That's 100% an apple tree, right? But then there's a full tree that has grown and is producing all this fruit. And that is also an apple tree, right? It's just further along and has grown to maturity. And if you don't nurture that little sprout, it's going to wither and die, right? But it's not lacking any of the qualities that it needs in order to be an apple tree. It is already. So you are already sons and daughters of God. You are already reflecting his glory around you. And I want to urge you and encourage you to come into the sanctuary to grow into maturity. And like that happens just practically, guys. It comes through worship times. It comes through studying your Bible. It comes through fellowship and sharing your hearts and being candid and open with the church body. That's how we come into the sanctuary of God. How we gaze on who he is. Oops. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about how when we're trying to do all these things, look really good. But we haven't been filled with the love of the Father. It's all noise. So every action, if it's lacking love, no matter how holy it looks, is just noise. It's empty and hollow. And it's nothing before God. So if you're over here like the Pharisees, still trying to prove something to him, but you haven't been filled with love and a relationship with God, it's going to be empty, right? I'm just trying to pick and choose what I want to get into here. I had like 4 points, and I didn't get through them on Sunday, and then I had like 3 sheets of points for this morning, so I had less time. So yeah, I think I'm going to maybe move on down here. Yeah, so just to say, like, we can do a whole lot of stuff in appearing to be holy and appearing to be good, but if it doesn't have love, God will see through it, and, you know, eventually men will see through it. And I think a lot of people have been hurt by the church through this. You know, this desire to be holy, this desire to reflect who we were made to reflect, can push people to do some really horrible things. So it's never been on our own strength. It's never been by our own will. It's never been by the tools of the flesh that we've made ourselves holy. It's always been by justification through Jesus, being declared righteous in the courtrooms of heaven, and being granted access. You know, like that purified priest who might make it, who might survive if he went into the Holy of Holies, right, with the string tied around his ankle or whatever it was. Like, we can access that now because justification, right? Because we are holy. Because we have, our names have been cleared before God. So, if sanctification is the process of becoming holy and becoming pure, then being pure is becoming one thing alone, right? Like, if you talk about something that's pure, like a pure glass of water has no dirt in it, pure gold is one thing, right? It's just gold. So through this refining process, gold is made into one thing. And us too, we are being refined so that we reflect God alone. So if our reflection is God alone, we're growing in purity, growing into becoming one thing and one thing alone, united with God, united in this reflection, right? There's nothing obscuring his character to the people around us. And like, I am growing in this. I recognize it. You know, when I lash out in anger at my kids and all this stuff, it's like, oh, that's not reflecting God. I recognize that I have an area to grow in here, and I'm not going to go back there and wallow in self-pity, try to be self-righteous, use shame to change myself. I'm going to trust that I will reflect God in an increasing way and grow in purity, grow in unity, right? That who I'm reflecting is unified with the Father, who he is. This is unity, right? Purity and unity. It's not just being good. Like, I thought growing up, like, as a teen, like, purity meant, like, I didn't do anything bad, right? That's so limited. That's such a limited viewpoint about what purity is. Purity is being one thing, right? It's not just the negative, don't do something bad. It's, like, being fully good, fully reflecting God in a pure way, in being in unity and full communion with him. So us too, we're being refined, so we reflect God alone. We're coming into unity with who he is and his heart. We are reflecting him in an increasingly glorious way. So, I mean, we've heard this. I know that you have all heard it, that being a Christian is a relationship and not a religion. But is that making more sense to you right now? So if you're trying to grow, if you're trying to find a way to fill the void in your heart, which is you recognize you're not being who you were created to be, reflecting Him, that's where the joy in life is and the peace in life is. It's so easy to get caught up in self-improvement and... But that's, again, that's religion. We need to come into this relationship and experience His love and love Him. And we don't need, then we don't need laws to tell us how to behave anymore. We will have a desire to fulfill and walk it out. We were talking about just earlier this morning, activating our will, what Svea had shared. And, we really have a choice, right? And I think we waste a whole lot of energy over here. And maybe we've been disheartened and thought it just doesn't work. This doesn't work. But I was just, yeah, this is our spiritual warfare, is to come into the sanctuary. And I know you felt it, I have felt it, that I look at my Bible, and I think, I want to read this today, and then I think, maybe later, and it doesn't happen. That is a moment. That is an invitation. There, you might want to come to a worship night. There's an invitation to come experience God's presence, to come into the sanctuary where you will be transformed. But you're going to feel opposition because it's spiritual warfare to say yes to that. I was talking with Ruth Ron a couple weeks ago. Just talking about like how you, it feels like you come up against a speed bump. You're like, oh, I want to, like leading worship, like, oh, I just want to give it. You know, I want to prophesy, or I want to sing this out. And then it's just like, oh, I don't know. It's, our time's done. Or maybe I just drawing too much attention to myself, or maybe people will feel uncomfortable, or I don't know. There's a thousand thoughts you can have, and it's like a little bump. You're like, eh. And you have a choice to like hit the gas a bit and get over that, or drift back in neutral. And it is so worth it. And I have never regretted it. So this is my invitation today. Is when you're feeling those little speed bumps, give it a little gas and get over it, because that is your warfare. That is your participation in what Jesus has done. That is your 100% coming here. And maybe it sounds too simple that reading your Bible can change you, or that sharing your heart with your friend and asking for prayer can change you, but it really is that simple. And that's the whole premise of having this river walk that we had, was to extend an invitation to our church body to get over the bump, get into His presence, and experience him. See him. Even just gaze on his face. And you will be changed. You will reflect him because you were created in his image to be like a mirror. So I have a song that I want to play. If we can get it up, will it be possible? Corey Asbury just came out with a new song called The Father's House. And just felt like bang on, like it came out just a couple days ago. And just as we play that, I want to extend an invitation to you to come in to the sanctuary. To find the wide open spaces in the sanctuary that are filled with his delight and pleasure and his goodwill for you. Where you thought he was so hard and strict that he was condemnation. That he was accusing you. He's not the accuser. He justified you. There is no accusation that can stand against you anymore. Come into the sanctuary and experience his blessings. Leave your fear, your condemnation, your shame behind. You have an open invitation to come into the Holy of Holies. The veil has been torn in Jesus. Access has been granted to you, and that's where we will experience transformation. So just as this song plays, I just invite you, if you need to come up and flag, or if you want to pray for someone and you have a word for them, or if you just want to sit and soak it in, I invite you to do whatever you're feeling would be right for you.